Hello and welcome back. I'm Nathan Smith, and in this episode we are going to be devoted only to a single function, the menu function. You'll see why in a second. First of all though, I just want to take a pause for a moment and congratulate you, as you have been, if you have followed on from step one, or even if you are just here as a recap, absolutely amazing. Programming is no easy feat at the end of the day, and the fact you've got this far is a statement on not only how well you are grasping the language itself, but how much potential you have as a developer and as a contributor to the wider community. Now that I've done my little motivational speech, let's crack on. Now, this, the menu function, is perhaps one of the most common things you will use in a game and as a piece of software. In our game, we are going to use it only once in our main menu. However, it could be used at any point for main menus, for game modes, for equipment, for anything. And it's that one function that most programmers will make in a different way. For example, the one I'm going to teach you today is not one that I personally would use. Not because it's bad, definitely not, simply because I tend to pass a lot of information to my menus. For example, in the menu function I'm going to teach you, we are just going to pass it a list of items. But in my menus that I use in games, I not only pass it the list of items, I pass it what sound I want as the background music, I pass it what sound to play as the introduction, I pass it what sound to play to let a person know they're at the top of the menu, and so on and so forth. This is the only episode where I will set you a little exercise at the end where you can test yourself. Usually I don't do this, but I figured why not in this regard. So let's crack on. First of all, our first line, def menu, left parenthesis, items, right parenthesis, colon. So we are going to pass this function a list of items, in our case a list of sound file names, i.e. play.og and exit.og. I'll show you how to create that list when we come to the main menu function later on, but for now that's all you need to know. Next line, position equals zero. Now I personally cannot remember if I went over the creation and the identification of arrays slash lists in Python in the tutorial in episode 2 of part 1 of the tutorials, but I doubt you can either by this point. But that's fine, we're going to do a brief recap of arrays. What is an array? An array is a list. That's all there is to it. Sure, you can have lists in lists, which are called multi-level arrays, but think of your shopping list, as that's something that most programmers like to think of. For example, your shopping list, if you are a very healthy person, i.e. not me, might consist of apples, carrots, and bananas. You might create that list and say, well, I want to sort that alphabetically. So you would call, so let's say you created your list object, your array, you called that list, you called it shopping list, and in that were three strings called apples, carrots, and bananas. So shopping list equals and that. I will show you the exact way to create an array again later on, so don't worry too much about that. But the point is, you have created an array object which you would then call the sort function on. So shopping list dot sort left parenthesis right parenthesis. Fantastic. Now you have apples, bananas, carrots. Now this is the tricky part about arrays, because in 99%, I'd say, don't quote me on that figure, that is a guesstimate, do not sue me in court for that figure, 99% of programming languages have an interesting quirk to them, where item 1 in the list is referred to as 0. Lists start at 0 and go up from there. So where in our list apples, you would think, well, item 1 is apples, item 2 is bananas, and item 3 is carrots, as far as the computer's concerned, actually, item 0 is apples, item 1 is bananas, item 2 is carrot, and item 3 is a traceback. So that's why we do position equals 0. That makes sure that when this function is called, the user always starts at the top of the menu. Next line. While space 1 colon. This is an infinite loop. Be very, very, very careful. This is a loop that, if unbroken, will continue until your computer explodes, or dies, or suffers some other tragedy that, as computer owners, we really don't want to think about. In other words, it will run till the end of time. And longer, if it can. But if your computer stands up that long, I want your computer, quite frankly. We are creating an infinite loop, but it's okay, because we, inside this loop, have a way to break out of it. So we'll carry on. Our next line we've called the event loop function. This is so that our program doesn't crash. If you're not sure why that is, you quite clearly didn't listen to the last tutorial and should skip back an episode, please. And thank you. And now we have an if statement. If key pressed. And in this, we are looking for the up arrow key. We are looking, basically, is the up arrow key pressed? Has this key been pressed? Now, remember back to our utility function of key pressed. We are calling it just here. As you can see, if key pressed, left parenthesis, a key, right parenthesis, colon. And in that regard, what key are we looking for? We can tell by the little variable name that we've used there, which is pygame.key_up. Note the capitalization again here, guys. Very important. Now, k_up is obviously a variable on the pygame module that we are referring to. And basically, on a very basic level, that is all you need to know about keystrokes, because if you wanted key down, it would be k_down. If you wanted the letter A, it would be k_A. Importantly though, note how K is in capitals and the word up is in capitals. If that was key A, if I was looking for the to see if the letter A had been pressed, that would be a capital k_a. Don't ask me why, that's just how it is. Next line, if position greater than sign 0 colon. Now this is where it comes down to bare bones in this regard. If you're making a game, do not do this, because at the end of the day, you will want to have, if position is 0 and we're at the top of the menu, then tell the user that they're at the top of the menu by playing a sound of some kind. That exercise is left up to you guys. In this regard though, if position is greater than 0, just says do this if the position is greater than 0. Now why is that? Because if, for example, our position was 0 and we did the next line, we would cause a traceback. Not a bad one, just a one that would stop the program working, you know. So let's move on to the next line, which says position equals position minus 1. What are we doing here? We are taking one away from the variable position. So if the variable position had the value of 12, then position equals position minus 1. So position minus 1 is 11, 12 minus 1 is 11. Therefore position now equals 11. You can see why we wouldn't want to do this if, and why we have the if position greater than 0. Because if we did 0 minus 1, then position would equal minus 1, and you can't have an item minus 1. That's against the rules. That would be, like, confusing completely. Note the indentation here. I've not left the user hanging. Whether they're at the top of the menu or not, I still play them the menu item. And we do that with play, left parenthesis, quote, sounds, slash, quote, plus, then items, left bracket, position, right bracket, comma, 1, comma, 0, right parenthesis. Let's break this down. We are calling our play function, first of all, quite obviously. Now, what's this items left bracket position right bracket thing? That is referring to an item in our list. Remember, we spoke about arrays earlier and how apples, bananas and carrots, apples was item 0, bananas was item 1. In Python, we would do this with shopping list, left bracket, number, right bracket. For example, if I wanted apples, it would be shopping list, left bracket, 0, right bracket. So in this regard, we are simply telling Python, look in the list called items, find the position we are at, and return it, so to speak. So if I was at the top of the menu, position would be 0, items 0 would be play.ok, as you'll see later on anyway. So in that regard, we now, if we was to walk it through step by step, have instead of item 0, we've got play.ok, which we now have quote sound slash quote plus quote play.ok quote. Or in very simple terms, because we can combine those strings nice and easily, sounds slash play.ok. That is the path to our sound file. Perfect. So we're just telling Python what sound we want to play. Now remember that our play function has three arguments. It has the sound name, the channel you want to play it on, and whether we should wait or not. So it's play, left paren, sound slash play.ok. We want to play this on channel 1. And then we don't want to wait for that sound to finish because that would be annoying, so we send it 0. This is the point now where I say over to you guys. What I want you to do is pause this tutorial and see if you can figure out how to do this for the down arrow keystroke. I'll give you one thing I will give you is the len function, L-E-N. Now, what does the len function do? If you pass the len function a string or a list, it will tell you how long it is, i.e. length. For example, len left parenthesis shopping list, right parenthesis, would be 3, which is all well and good. But just remember, guys, that there is no item 3. So you'll have to be clever with your checks on this one. Make sure that position never gets to item 3 and stops at item 2. So, pause the tutorial and see if you can write that if statement. When you're ready, come back to me and we'll get back to work. Hello again, welcome back. I'm presuming you've written the if statement by now. If not, then why not? Anyway, the final statement, if statement, that we want for this loop is the one that's going to break out of it, and that is the enter key. How the player knows to press, like how we know the user wants to press items. Did that make any sense? I don't think it did. Should we try that one again? So, as you've guessed, we want the return button, the enter key. So, if key pressed, because we're looking for a key press, I have provided this code. If key pressed, and it's the K underscore return, all in capitals with the pygame.k return, and then return position. Now in my games, I will admit freely, I return position plus 1. It's up to you how you want to do this, but for the sake of simplicity, we're just going to return position. And remember, guys, that means that if the user chooses play the game, it will be 0. If they choose exit, it will be 1. Congratulations! Your utility functions are finished. These functions are really important, guys. The menu, the play, and the keystroke, the key pressed, are really important because you can just copy those across to any projects you do, and you have right there a working menu, you have working keystrokes, and you have a working play. And that means you can just get down and get working, guys. As long as these functions work, you're in it. And of course, another thing you could do is put these into a file called, let's say, utils.py. At the top, put import pygame. write these three functions in there. In fact, I doubt you'd even have to import Pygame. Just write these three functions in there, and then in your projects, just import utils and call utils.keypressed, utils.menu, and utils.play. That's a little bit beyond this tutorial, but it's worth playing around with and testing yourself on, because it's just the same as the globals module that we imported earlier on and have used. So guys, that's it for utility functions. Hopefully now you're seeing how this game's going to shape up. And we are, in the next tutorial or two, going to get this game cracked out and ready to test. Thank you for listening. I'm Nathan Smith.